This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from Tantalk Radio Network Studio here in glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to read a good book. And boy, oh boy, do I have... Can I tell you about some good books today? Because my guest is someone really important, and it's really thrilling to have him on the program today. Vikrant Sharia is, he is a phenomenon. He is the founder and CEO of a website called bestsellingbook.com, and he knows about publishing, he knows about writing the bestsellers, and so I'm so happy to welcome Vikrant to the program today. Hi.
Hey, Patsy. Great to be on the show.
Oh, wow. This is wonderful, and I pronounced your name right, correct?
Yes, correct. Vikrant Sharia.
Okay, because, it's a wonderful name. Of course, it's comes from the Sanskrit, and it means stepping beyond and brave, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful name because, you were pretty brave to head into the book world with not a lot of experience. So do you want to tell us about what you've been doing and, about your website and just about all of the success that you've had in these past few years?
Yeah, sure. So, Patsy, what we do is we help entrepreneurs, coaches, thought leaders, experts who have amazing ideas, amazing stories, amazing message to share with the world in the form of books, but they really don't have the time to sit down and write the book. So we have created a done-for-you book writing, publishing, and marketing services through which we help them turn their ideas into a best-selling book with our done-for-you services. So yeah, this is what we do, and we are in the business for around 10 years, help hundreds and hundreds of our clients in different industries. And the journey was amazing.
Well, the whole point of Joy on Paper is to encourage people to write, because I believe that there is a book in everybody. And of course, it's wonderful if you can write the book yourself and if you can get it published or find an agent, get it published, or even self-publish. But still, there are people out there who have stories. And over this past year during the pandemic, many people have come to me and they said, I have a story. I really want to tell it. I don't know how to do it. So I said, okay, well, you have to, if you want the story out, then maybe you need help. And I'm not at all opposed to people getting together with real experts who can help them write their story. Because in many times, it is perhaps somebody who has a business and they want to tell the story about how they accomplished what they accomplished. I know some doctors and some real estate people who they've written very useful books, and they are very proud of themselves. Their family is, are always very proud of them to have this book out. And I think that's one of the things that you do.
Yeah, exactly. So whenever we write a book, the thing is we need to understand that we are providing a solution, especially if it is a nonfiction book. We are mentioning in the book how to go from point A to point B. Point A is going to be the situation where the person is in the problem, and point B is the situation where they have overcome this the problem and they have the solution now. So most of these people we have worked with, they had this journey, they already had gone from point A to point B, and now they want to share this journey with other people on how they can themselves go from point A to point B. So, yep, as you mentioned, the book, whenever they write it, it's a great feeling. Your friends and families or colleagues there, they're going to be applauding for you. But at the same time, the readers who are going to read the book, it is once you start receiving the thank you emails, it is very much satisfactory. Means like you will really enjoy reading those thank you emails, seeing that like your book is really helping people out there.
And that's the whole point, that it is so important for people to understand that sometimes they just have to look at their own lives. Did they ever read a book that changed them? Did they ever read a book that helped them? So if they've got a story to tell, if they've got something to share, they should do it. They should say, yeah, you know, not everybody can write, unfortunately. with sometimes with the educational system and the world, you know, in many cases, creative writing is not encouraged in schools. They don't work hard on getting people to become good writers. So people need help, and I think it's perfectly okay if you've got the story and if you have the means to find somebody to help you.
Exactly. So the thing is, like, also want to share over here, add something that since my childhood, like, I was kind of an average student, and the subject, like, which I used to hate was English. And, like, I used to get the lowest marks into English. And the thing is, when I was 18, when I turned 18, and, of course, I don't want to go very deep into the story, but, yeah, like, I dropped out of the college, I started a business, it got failed, and of course now I have no money at all. Searched online that how to make money online, and I figured out about self-publishing. Then I started writing my first book. And I wrote that first book within just 21 days with my bad English writing skills. So even if your English is not your first language still, you can definitely write the book. Like you just need some tools, you just need some ways, some techniques, some strategies in order to write the book, right? Just like any other thing which you will be doing. For example, if I'm going to be starting to write the book myself, even if you are not hiring someone, then what you can do is instead of you writing the book, you can just talk about the book and record your the entire book. And then, of course, you can have, there's some tools out there which can do the transcription. I mean, there are tools like Rev.com, HappyScribe.com, which can take the entire audio which you have recorded around the chapters, sub-chapters, and then you can have basically 60 to 70% content ready. And I know that like it's going to be complete junk, but you have at least some of the manuscript ready, and you just have to rearrange it and then maybe hire some kind of professional editors and proofreaders who can help you fix the content and make it kind of a logical sequence. So there are always way around, like how to exactly write a book, even if you don't have a creative writing skill or creative writing experience, like in writing the book.
Exactly. And if it's sort of, if there's a will, there's a way. And if you are determined, if you say, look, I want to do something, then you can find the tools, you can find the way to do it. And I think the service that your company offers is excellent. So once you wrote a book, once you wrote your first book, how did you get the idea? Because, you know, really, when you think about it, it was a very bold thing to do. And perhaps it's because of your name, because Vikrant is a bold is a bold person, and it's a bold name, and also very brave. You know, they named an aircraft carrier after you, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Wow, you have done great research.
Okay, so, actually, I don't speak Hindi. I've been learning Gujarati I've been trying to learn Gujarati because I'm writing a book set in India myself. So, but I know, of course, the Vikrant and Vikrana comes from Sanskrit, and it's a great name.
Awesome.
So, okay, yeah, to explain, so there you were, you wrote the first book, and then you got this idea.
Yeah, definitely. So I wrote a book, I published that book, and the first month I made around $27 from the book's royalties. And it was a kind of a very big deal to me because this was the first money I made online. And I started seeing the things. Like, okay, what can I do? Then the next book which I wrote, like I wrote it just under 3 days. And it was a short book, like just 40 to 50 pages book. But I wrote the book, published the book, and this time I also did some marketing for both of the books. And this month I made around $440. And now I started seeing the results. Then I started self-publishing more and more books. The thing is, like, things started changing when some of my friends, especially Facebook friends, started reaching out to me that, hey, like, can you please also help me write a book? Then I started offering them the coaching, and I started helping them turn their ideas into a published book. And this is where, like, I started into the coaching and consultation about how to write and publish a book. And in that 1 year, like, I launched dozens of courses, ebooks, and programs around how to write and publish a best-selling book, and had helped thousands of students turn their ideas into a best-selling book. But the thing is, like, some of them, especially those people like who were entrepreneurs, coaches, and consultants, they started reaching out to me that, hey, like, the program is good, but we really don't have the time to sit down and write the book, or we don't have the skill set to write a book. Can you please help me do that? Or can you please, can you write the book for me? So then I saw this opportunity that I did some research and I found out that there are so many people out there, millions of people out there who have great stories, great messages to share with the world, but really don't have the time or the skill set to write a book. And then I assembled a team of writers, editors, publishers, marketers, and created this Done For You book publishing company. And honestly speaking, initially the company's name was The Books Factory because of course we were creating books. But almost all the books which we were creating with our marketing techniques, these books like used to be Amazon bestseller or Wall Street Journal bestseller or USA Today Journal bestseller. So 2 years ago, like we renamed the company to bestsellingbook.com.
And, you know, this, I think the service that you offer is terrific. And as I said, I know many people who need that kind of help. And they have stories to tell. And I think that what you've put together, finding great editors, finding great people to work with, is important. And you've assembled some really top-notch talent.
Yeah. Yeah, so the company is there incorporated in state. All the writers, all the editors we have, they are from states. All of them from India. But yeah, I know that like if in order to publish a really great book, internationally, in the international market, then you have to work with writers like who's native writing or native, they're native speaker like for English. So that's why like I assemble all the writers we have, all the editors we have, either they are from States, they're from UK or Canada, Australia, most of them they are from States.
Well, that's I think that's terrific. I think what you've put together is terrific, because I'm a great believer in people keeping history, writing today, so that years from now people can look back and know what was going on in real in that time. So I really enjoy it. More, as I said, I'm doing a book set in India, and my greatest resource is all the people, both English, but also Indians at the time were writing books in English. There were so many, and there are still so many Indians who wrote books in English because they went to British style schools.
Yeah.
And so they write beautifully. And one of my greatest joys is to find diaries and books written in the 1800s by Indians in English, because it's a great resource. And so I think what you've done, put together this team, and it was bold. I really am in awe of anyone who can build a company from scratch. And as you said, you weren't the greatest student in the world, but you said you were going to do it, and you did it.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay, so how do people get together with you. All they have to do is go to bestsellingbook.com?
Yeah, they can simply go to bestsellingbook.com. They can schedule a strategy session with one of our author strategists, and who is going to exactly understand their book publishing goals and also the business goals, and create a customized plan for them to turn their ideas into a best-selling book. Also, for your audience, for your listeners, I have a special guest. If they can simply go to bestsellingbook.com/checklist, they can find the checklist which we use for our clients, for our done-for-you clients. And if they want to write and publish and market the book themselves, I need them to know that, like, this is the same checklist we use for our clients. So they can simply download that checklist, print it out, paste it on the wall, and then I guarantee that, like, this is going to really make your publishing journey very easy. And this checklist also comes with a blueprint which explains how to use the checklist.
Wow.
All the steps which you need, all the things which you need, like from the book idea, like how to do the editing, publishing, like all the sub-steps which you require, everything is there in a logical sequence, so you will never miss anything which is crucial, you know, in your publishing journey.
Well, thank you, Vikrant. That's so kind of you, and I'm sure my listeners will enjoy it, and I will continue to tell my listeners about you, because I get so many emails every week from people saying, I have something I want to tell people about. Sometimes it's about, you know, about their business, about something that happened in their life where they feel that their story. For example, right, just recently I got an email for somebody who has been a volunteer in Africa, has done a lot of volunteer work in Africa for conservation, and she wants to write the book. She wants to tell people how she got into, you know, helping different groups in Africa, and she doesn't know how to do it. So she's one of the people that I'm going to send over to you, because she needs to write her story. She has a fascinating story, but she doesn't have a lot of time in between all of her other work. So this is the kind of thing that I think you do very well. And so everybody, you know, if you need help, and there are many of you who do, bestsellingbook.com. And with Vikrant, I think, you know, I think you're pretty amazing.
Thank you so much, Patsy. You too. Like, of course, you have read over tens of thousands of books, like, which is amazing. And the way you speak, the way you talk, the kind of questions that you ask, I can see the reflection of the books which you have read, like, of course, in your questions, the way in your conversation. So I really appreciate that you are doing it, and yep.
Well, thank you. It's really been an honor to talk to you today, and just again, thank you so much. And I know that you're busy and you have another meeting going on, but thank you for joining me today on Joy on Paper, Vikrant Shakur, and the company is bestsellingbook.com. Bye bye now. Can we say namaste? Are we allowed to say namaste anymore?
Yes.
Can we still?
It's a namaste.
Okay, you know, you don't know. I don't. I mean, I'm used to it because my Indian friends, we always say namaste. So okay, bye bye, namaste.
Yeah, bye, namaste, Patsy. Bye.
Talk. Bye. Oh, isn't he nice? Wow, this is nice. That was great. Okay, now since we've been talking about writing books, we're going to now have a little lesson in how to write with our good friend Jim Lamb, a good friend to Joy on Paper. And we'll play that, and then we'll go to commercial, and I'll be back.
Here's the headline. Good as gold and other alliterations. Short version, well-placed words that share sounds can add razzmatazz to your writing. I'm Jim Lamb. Let's get started. Listen carefully to these four lines from The Rime of the Ancient Mariner by Samuel Taylor Coleridge. The fair breeze blew, the white foam flew, the ferryman followed free. We were the first that ever burst into that silent sea. Did you notice the words fair, foam, flew, ferryman, follow, and free? All start with the F sound. All sound alike. That literary technique is called alliteration. Let me expand that. Alliteration is the repetition of initial sounds in a string of words. This pattern helps make the groupings memorable. I like alliterations. Why? Because they're catchy. It's that simple. But it's not just me. Comic book writers discovered this lively literary device years ago. How do you think they ended up with character names like Clark Kent, Lois Lane, Lex Luthor, Peter Parker, J. Jonah Jameson, Stephen Strange, and of course, Wonder Woman? If I were a comic character, I'd probably be Louis the Lamb, or maybe Larry. Movie titles are a great exercise in alliteration. Have you seen Gone Girl, Batman Begins, Air America, or La La Land? When I was a kid, we had a movie called Beach Blanket Bingo. It starred Frankie Avalon and Annette Funicello. Ask your grandparents about that one. Beach Blanket Bingo. They don't make movies like that anymore. Marketing people love alliterations. That's why businesses have names like PenPal, Best Buy, Coca-Cola, and Dunkin' Donuts. Products, too. Kellogg's Corn Flakes, Captain Crunch, Baby Back Ribs, and Tonka Toys. Cartoon characters offer a treasure of alliterative gems. Think about it. You've got Donald Duck, Mickey Mouse, Woody Woodpecker, Bugs Bunny, Porky Pig, and my favorite, SpongeBob SquarePants. It's almost impossible to get away from alliterative combinations. Let's say you just want to relax. Enjoy some sports over the weekend. Maybe watch SportsCenter, which is in itself an excellent alliteration. Some sports fans in New York probably watch the Buffalo Bills. New England, Boston Bruins. Ohio, Cleveland Cavaliers. Illinois, Chicago Cubs. In Pennsylvania, fans can watch a matchup between the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Philadelphia Phillies. Unless they're hockey fans, then they'd probably watch the Pittsburgh Penguins. Alliterations are everywhere. I'm a baby boomer. That's a great alliteration. Here are some others. If you've got a product or service that carries your whole business, you've got what they call a cash cow. You don't want your kids to shoot an eye out during Christmas? Better not buy that kid a BB gun. Maybe you want your son or daughter to grow up to be a successful geek, like those guys and gals on Big Bang. Here's an idea. Why not invest in a Bunsen burner? That'll light up their life. If you're old like me, you might contact Meals on Wheels. Not exactly an alliteration, but it does rhyme. Maybe you're a young kid and you want to play Hungry Hippos. That's definitely an alliteration. Or maybe you need extra money and decide to sell seashells by the seashore. Or pick a pack of pickled peppers for your pal, Peter Piper. It's not just people, places, and things that get the treatment. Sayings do too. Examples: cold as a cucumber, cream of the crop, dead as a doornail, easy peasy, head over heels, live and learn, sink or swim, swan song, supersize, and of course, trick or treat. If I've not included your favorite example here, just send me a note and I'll add it to the list. Whatever you do, don't start ranting and raving. When it comes to alliteration, it's best not to make a mountain out of a molehill, if you know what I mean. I'm Jim Lamb, and you've just learned a little something-something about alliteration.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
Are you an author? An artist? an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Patsy with a Z, and I am back with my next guest. Whoa, what a great guest. Gordon, Uncle John Javna, is going to be on in a minute, I think, I hope, because I have this book. It is gorgeous. I'm holding it up to the camera here for everybody on YouTube. So I'm holding up this wonderful book, and it is fantastic. It is so beautiful. It's called Uncle John's Greatest No on Earth, Curiosities, Rarities, and Amazing Oddities. And it's by the Bathroom Readers Institute. And, of course, the head of the Bathroom Readers Institute is Gordon, Uncle John Javna himself. Hi, Gordon.
Hi. How you doing?
Okay, great. Well, this is book number 33. I love palindromic things. Wow. You know, this book is so beautiful. I love your books. With the rounded corners, the beautiful, lovely paper that you use, the typography, absolutely perfect.
Well, I will tell all of the designers who worked on this that they got a rave review from you.
Well, you know, this is not just a trivia book. This is a deep trivia book. This is one of those deep books. We can go deep into a subject with this book. It's not just throwing a few facts at us. You're really digging in there, right down to the toilet. And you're getting us some really great stuff here.
Well, thank you very much. We didn't invent trivia. We've been doing this for 30-something years. We didn't invent the idea, but a lot of the things that we sort of pioneered have turned into what trivia became, which is lists, basically. And we love lists, too. Don't get me wrong. But we also love telling stories. And that's a great way to share trivia, because every story has little, you know, nooks and crannies of filled with information that you can make you go, that's interesting. I didn't know that before. And that's what Uncle John's Bathroom Reader is.
Well, that's what
I've never heard before.
Exactly. There's so much in here that I didn't know, and I just love it. And I love the chapter 33 years, because 33 years. And so you went and found everything that happened with 33, and I love that. All the way back to Pontius Pilate.
I'd like to do something that's related to the title. But 33 years is a long time. I always wonder if we're going to find enough information to make another book, and we always do. So it just tells you that there's always more to learn in the world, and you know, we love sharing it.
And over the years, they've gotten better and better. As I said, they're so readable. I love a book with rounded corners. I think it's so, it just makes me feel good. It's so olden day-ish. And as I said, the cover design is fantastic. Just brilliant, really brilliant. I mean, look, you're going to give a book from the Bathroom Readers Institute. But it looks so good. I mean, it is a coffee table book. It is a book that you know, it's a great book. You just want to keep around. And I actually killed. Anyway, let's just say I think this is a coffee table book.
I don't None of us have coffee tables in our bathrooms, but you can decide where you want to keep the book. There's no bathroom police. They're not going to.
Oh, I hope not.
Keep it next to your bed or on the coffee table. But inside the book, there are a lot of great stories. One of my favorites is the one about. In fact, this is one of my favorites of all of the bathroom reviews I've done, which is. Where this is our 33rd year, so I've done probably 60 or 70, or maybe even more bathroom readers. But one of my favorite stories is in this book. It's about a guy named William Mitchell, who was a food scientist for the company General Foods. And in the 1950s, General Foods bought the Kool-Aid brand, and they tasked Mitchell with finding a way to make carbonated Kool-Aid. And the reason is they wanted to compete with soda, you know, with Coke or Pepsi. And so Mitchell came up with an idea, a couple of ideas, actually. One, his first one was to carbonate the ice. So you could buy carbonated ice with a packet of Kool-Aid and mix them together, and you'd get soda. And it worked, except that the ice had to be kept at a temperature of 14 degrees or lower. And most supermarkets or grocery stores turned up the temperature of their freezers to just below freezing at night, which saved energy, and it kept the frozen food cold, but it made the ice, the carbon dioxide in the carbonated ice dissipate. So that didn't work. So then he came up with another idea, which was to carbonate the sugar, because in those days you made Kool-Aid by adding the packet plus sugar to make the drink. So he came up with an idea of, let's carbonate the sugar, came up with a way of doing that, and then he figured, well, let's add the flavoring and the coloring to that little lump of sugar, and he came up with something that didn't work as a carbonated drink because it wasn't fizzy enough to make soda. But he came up with something that could be consumed on its own. You pop that little lump of carbonated sugar in your mouth and it fizzed, and he thought it would make a great candy. But General Foods wasn't in the candy business and they weren't interested in this. Still, he kept a little packet of it around his office all the time, so when visitors came by, he would impress them with this candy that he called atomic candy. And they'd pop it in their mouth and it would fizz. And they'd go, ooh. So one of the people he impressed was the head of the snack food division of the company in Canada. And this is 20 years later. And this guy said, wow, that would make a great candy, but we can't call it atomic candy. Let's call it Pop Rocks. And this is how a phenomenon in the candy business started. This is in the 1970s. They decided to come out with this candy called Pop Rocks, but this Canadian distributor who started the factory to create the Pop Rocks, he didn't want to sell it as candy. He wanted to attach it to a bag of pretzels or potato chips to get people to buy the potato chips or the pretzels. And what they found was that kids wanted the Pop Rocks, not the potato chips, and there were incidences of kids chasing snack food trucks, which was unheard of. So they went into production, and it was very successful at first until they realized. In fact, General Foods had the idea that they were going to come out with a powdered version of this, and also carbonated chocolate and carbonated chewing gum, and they didn't realize that it was a novelty. People bought a few packs. The average was about six times it was purchased, and then people lost interest. So the company actually lost money on the venture, even though it was wildly popular at first. And they sold the brand. And in fact, the brand still exists.
Oh, it still exists. There's a retro candy store here on the island, here in Clearwater. And there's a retro candy store. They have like 1,000 candies from the past, all sorts of candies that you don't see anymore. It's wonderful. And they have Pop Rock. which I like. I like the yeah. feeling. I get a kick out of them.
Well, interestingly, the guy who invented that also invented some other things. He invented Tang, which was a powdered breakfast drink, essentially Kool-Aid with vitamins, which got its success because the NASA astronauts, the early NASA astronauts, took it into space. So we all thought, oh, it must be good for you, you know. But the fact is that the reason they took it into space was because water in pouches, that's how they took all their food into space. The water in pouches didn't taste good. They some chemical separated from the water that made it taste unpalatable to the astronauts. So they've made it palatable by adding Tang, by adding the Tang thing. So, but nevertheless, it was a very successful brand. He also invented Cool Whip, also a very successful brand. But the one that got me was that he invented, with his daughter, he and his daughter invented rice milk. Something that we see in the supermarket now. And Mitchell, who's the food scientist I mentioned, he passed away, but his daughter continues in the business, and she used their process to create not only rice milk, but oat milk, hemp milk, soy milk.
Oh, boy. So she's making a fortune now because...
Here she is, but also this is his legacy.
Well, that's
in the supermarket, you'll see rice milk or oat milk or coconut milk, and you think of William Mitchell.
Okay, well, I'm a youper. Youpers don't drink this phony milk. I used to bring the cows in with my grandfather. I don't drink phony milk, but I'm glad she's making a lot of money out of it. You know, it's so much. I love that you mentioned Tang because, of course, that reminded me of the astronauts, which also reminds me of a story you have in here about, let's say, the Russian cosmonauts and their little ritual that they have. This was a little bit unusual. I did not know what the cosmonauts do, and I don't know if we want to tell people. They have to get the book. Let's just say, get Uncle John's Greatest No on Earth, and you can find out what the cosmonauts do. And it's not as nice as drinking Tang, I will tell you that.
You can also find out about the origin of the very popular record album from the 60s called The Songs of the Humpback Whale, which actually helped save whales from extinction. That was developed by... actually, it wasn't developed. It was discovered. These songs were discovered by a scientist who was working for the government. He had the job of monitoring the waters off of the east coast of the United States with an underwater microphone. They were waiting for sounds of Soviet submarines. And he heard these sounds. He didn't know what they were. In fact, nobody knew that whales even made sounds, really. And he recorded them and found out that that's what they were. And he and another fellow used that to stave off the extinction or overhunting, actually, of whales. It was a fascinating story.
Well, you know, there are so many things I love in the book, and it is a book of lists, and I love lists. And it's funny, in the Who Consumes the Most, I knew immediately when it came to coffee, I knew immediately because being a Finlander myself, I knew that in Finland... And youpers, we drink a lot of coffee, and I've been really hoping and praying that some coffee company would sponsor Joy on Paper, because I will drink their coffee on air, because like all Finns, I drink a lot of coffee, and Finns drink 21 pounds of coffee a year. And that didn't surprise me, and it didn't surprise me at all when the country that consumes the most turkey is Israel. And people would be surprised about that. They'd say, well, you know, Israel, why are they, you know, having all this turkey? And it's true. I can tell you this from personal experience. I ate so much turkey in Israel, it's unbelievable. And at one point, when I was working in a kitchen, I made 1,000, count this, 1,000 turkey schnitzels in one day, and I had to pound 1,000 turkey schnitzels. Do you know how hard that is and what a headache you get from pounding? We didn't have a machine. We had, you know, nowadays I'm sure there's a machine you can stick that turkey in. I had to pound it with a mallet, 1,000 of those things.
Wow.
Yeah. So I know Israel, they eat turkey.
How were they prepared? Was it schnitzel?
Oh, schnitzel. Yeah. You know, I pounded them nice and thin and then breaded them. And you know how you can tell if a schnitzel is done right? Do you know the schnitzel test?
No.
Schnitzel, when you fry it, it should be thin. The coating should be perfect. And when you finish it, if you're wearing a pair of white pants and you put it on the chair and you sit on it and it doesn't leave a grease spot, your schnitzel is right.
Well, now, see, people ask me, how do you get information how do you collect information for Uncle John's bathroom reader? And I always say, well, you keep your ears open, because people will tell you things that will lead you down a little rabbit hole as you explore. And now you just taught me something that I didn't know.
Schnitzel should not be...
A schnitzel test.
It should not be... It is! It should not be greasy. And people make schnitzel and they call it schnitzel, and it's not the right schnitzel because it's greasy. Schnitzel should not be greasy. When you take it out, you sit on it, well, just one, not all 1,000. Just test one and serve the rest. that's the test, and it actually works. I know it. I tested it myself. But I love that list and everything. And people, you have to get it so you can find out who eats the most chocolate, who eats the most donuts, who eats the most. I will say, and it did not surprise me, French fries. French fries in Belgium are the best in the world. There is nobody who makes French fries like the people in Belgium. It's quite extraordinary. Better than the French, better than anybody. And so,
is there a French fry test?
Well, I don't have one for that, but they are delicious, and that's one of the reasons we used to go to Belgium all the time for the waffles and the French fries. So this is a wonderful list. And, of course, I love the thing about you have a chapter there about Canadians. And, again, as a youper, I will say that we made a lot of fun of Canadians. We were always making a lot of fun of Canadians. So I love that. I love that chapter.
For reasons I do not exactly understand, Uncle John's Bathroom Reader has been very popular in Canada. And I won't say, for reasons I don't understand, I don't know why that country in particular, but...
Well, as a youper, I could tell you why, but I'm not going to say it on air.
Oh, okay.
I can't tell you.
I figured that as well, that has something to do with bathroom habits. But,
And then the next
cold
book,
weather, I don't know.
You can have a chapter about youpers and why we say things about Canadians. But there's a little area there, Sault Ste. Marie, where you can sort of go over to Canada and the Canadians can come over to America. And so there's a lot of, we have a lot of Canadian jokes. And of course, it is true too that they do have great donuts in Canada, and I can see why they're in your book. It's just really so many things, and many of the things, as you said, I did not know, and I love the one vegan or not vegan, and this actually freaked me out. I'm going to tell you the truth. This one freaked me out because I also. When I was in Israel, I picked a lot of bananas. I did a lot of crazy things in Israel.
Wow. Pounding schnitzels and picking bananas.
But I didn't know, and this is because, you know, I thought bananas were kosher. I had no idea, and I'm not sure if in Israel they actually use this chemical, this non-vegan chemical. I don't believe on where I work that we use this, but that they're spraying bananas with chitosan, and I couldn't even read it what chitosan was because I didn't want to read that because it sort of made bananas unkosher for me.
Remind me, what is chitosan?
It's made from shrimp cells.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't even know what chitosan was, but I don't believe our bananas. I think I will maybe better stick to Israeli bananas because it's not kosher. It's not kosher.
They're not. They don't spray them with shrimp shells.
No, I'm sure we didn't. We didn't. So I'm looking at.
But on the other hand, if you're spraying it, it's only on the outside, and it's for pests. Not for
yeah, I know, but I still don't think we're allowed okay. then to touch them even. So I hope not. That one surprised me, and the story about figs is very interesting. I think people should read this. There's a million. Well, I don't know if there are a million facts in this book, but there are a million reasons why they should get this book because it is so good. Father's Day is coming up. I cannot think of a better gift to give a father than this book. Uncle John's Greatest No on Earth, number 33. And I think this one is better than 32. And it's, they get better and better. I love the, as you said, the stories. You have nice full stories here. Some about criminal cases, funny things about, there's so many. Come Jail Away, I love that one. There's just so many stories in here, and it will keep people occupied, and we need to keep our minds occupied. As I said, I think this is a wonderful gift all year round. Father's Day is perfect, but this is a wonderful gift to give, and you know, Gordon, I think you're amazing, and the whole concept, what you've put together here, is wonderful.
We like to think that this is the book that a gift that keeps on giving because it you can't race through it. You know, the book is laid out in mostly 1, 2, and 3 page articles, but there are several hundred articles in the book, and I've been told by people that when they if they start at the beginning, by the time you know, because you only read them for a short period of time at a time. And by the time you get to the end, you forgot what was on at the beginning and you can start all over again.
Yeah, you can reread it many times, actually.
Yes. Yeah, and always learn something. I make these books and then I go back months later and look at it again. I go, oh, that's really interesting. Forgetting that I have read the same article, you know, 30 times when it was in production. And it still is fascinating to me.
Well,
and
see?
There's lots of great stuff. Things that are rescued from the trash. The Adventures of Florida Man. We have a story here about the Abernathy Boys. That's in our dustbin of history thing that was very famous in the early part of the 20th century, around 1910. These two young boys, one was 6 and one was 10, they rode from Oklahoma to New York City on horseback. And it was covered by the press. The whole trip was covered by the press, and it took them a couple of months to get there. But fascinating story about how they got there and how they got back to Oklahoma.
Well, I found it so fascinating. I was trying to. I was thinking I could make a film out of that one. I like that story.
Yeah, it's a great story.
It is. It's fantastic. It would make a wonderful movie. Well, there are so many things in here, Gordon, that I just love. Where should people? You know, of course, the book is available wherever books are sold, and hopefully bookstores are open. And I'm sure if the bookstores are open, it's right at the front of the bookstore. It should be on that front table. It should be because it looks so beautiful. It is just so beautiful. I can't get over having a trivia book that looks so beautiful.
Yeah, it's usually in the humor section. Some places put it in the trivia section, but it's usually in the humor section because. Well, I don't know exactly why we're in the humor section, but I like to think that the book is loaded with humor. But
well, I think it should be on the front table. All you bookstores out there, put it right at the front table. Put it by the cash register. Everybody should pick up this book because it's a wonderful book.
Thanks very much. And it is available at Amazon.
Yeah, of course. And Barnes & Noble and all of those.
People can go to bathroomreader.com if they want to.
And do you have a website you want people to go to?
Bathroomreader.com.
As easy as that. Well, my goodness, yeah. Gordon, you make life easy for us and you make it fun for us. So it's just been an absolute joy to talk to you today. And everybody.
Thank you very much.
I think you're terrific. You guys over there, you come out with these wonderful, wonderful stories and help take our minds off of all of the other things going on in the world at the moment.
Yes, including we also have, you know, once in a while we do joke page. Well, I like to do one page of jokes in every book, puns usually, because the dumber the better, as far as I'm concerned. We didn't used to do that, but a few years ago we started adding puns. So here are a couple of my favorites from this book.
Okay.
How do taco trucks keep warm in winter?
I don't know.
They use chicken fajitas.
Ha ha. Okay.
Okay. Well, you know, I tried to stop the rumor about the melted butter, but it was spreading too fast. Oh, that's not... Who invented fractions?
Ah, I don't know.
Henry VIII.
Oh, you're good. Oh, you're good, Gordon. Okay, well, again, thank you so much for joining me on Joy on Paper today. This is my pick for the day. This is a fantastic book, and it is really a wonderful gift for everybody, not just for fathers. All the women I know will love this book, too, and everybody can appreciate it for many reasons, okay?
And as we say goodbye, I would just ask you, did you know that goodbye is a contraction of God be with you?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
So,
all right. Well, something to think about when you say goodbye.
That's right. And it is exactly that. And goodbye to you, Gordon. And it's been wonderful, wonderful to have you on the program today. Thank you so much.
Thank
you are a joy. You are a joy.
I appreciate it.
Okay. Okay. Bye-bye now.
Tickled me. Okay, bye.
Bye. Okay. He's nice. I like him so much. And I like this book. Wonderful. What I love is, I'm holding it again up to the camera for anyone on YouTube. It's got rounded corners. It's shiny, beautiful paper. Oh, I love a book with beautiful paper. And the typography is great. It's not too small. You know, usually when they write trivia books, they're like so small. And they make, I don't know, it's just off-putting. But this is beautifully, beautifully done. Wonderful layout, and all the stories are interesting. Everything about the book is a fantastic. It is one of the best gift books that you can possibly find, and I would not actually let anyone use it in the bathroom. It's a coffee table book to me. It is a book that when people come over, they'll sit there, and if you're not great on conversation, they'll pick it up and they'll find something to start talking about. So it's a conversation opener. Wow, that's great. And also gives you a lot of ideas. A lot of those stories in there. Oh, this is for all you writers. There are he has one-page stories about very interesting cases, very interesting events, like the story about the two boys who went across the country. That would make a wonderful book. You can go through this book and just pick out ideas of things to use and, of course, add in to your writing. So it makes it interesting, because remember, one of the things I always tell you, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken in an audible book, or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, streaming video, or perhaps a series on the Hallmark Channel, like I am hoping for Carol J. Perry. It could happen to you, but it won't unless you start writing. So start writing and say something nice to somebody, and I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Ed, for everything, and he's going to salute me because I'm going to salute him, right, Ed? And because I can't leave without somebody saluting me. I should have been a general. Oh, I would have been such a good general. I would have gone. I'd have kept walking around just making people salute me all day. That would have been so much fun. Bye-bye now.